You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Dean Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Keeping Up with the Kardashians After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Keeping Up with the Kardashians After Show.
Yay! Hello, Bing is for doing. Hello, AfterBuzz TV fans. If you're tuning in, first of all, I want to let you know, do not adjust your monitor. Yes, there are two black girls here today.
Hey!
I'll get to that in a second. But this is the after show for Keeping Up with the Kardashians. And thank you so much for joining us or tuning into iTunes. And I want to remind you guys, just like I said about iTunes, check us out on iTunes. You can actually download and subscribe to the show absolutely for free. You don't have to pay a single cent, which we all love free. And we really enjoy your feedback and your comments, so please keep those coming. We read them, we love them, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. We just like that you're reaching out to us. And just like I said, don't adjust your video monitor or your earphones. There's two of us in the studio today, and who's with me today, her name is...
I am Candace Smart.
Mm-hmm. And Candace is actually a Los Angeles publicist. Ooh la 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 la. And not only is Candace a publicist, but she is a huge, huge, big fan of the Kardashians. So we thought it'd be a lot of fun to have her here. So Candace, tell the fans all about who you are.
Yes. Well, hello. As I said, my name is Candace Smart. Thank you for having me, Deanna.
No problem.
But yeah, so I'm an entertainment publicist. I do a lot of TV and music projects. And I also have a luxury lifestyle blog called WelcomeToTheLuxLife.com.
Welcome to the Lux Life. We love that, don't we?
Of course, mm-hmm. I'm a Kardashian fan, and I wanted to come and chat it up with you.
Of course. Well, we're going to get started digging into the latest episode of The Kardashians, and we're gonna drill Candace a little later and ask her all about who her artists are and, you know, maybe some fun behind-the-scenes publicity stuff that she can let us in on in L.A. Okay, so last week, I know y'all all watched last week, because last week we had a serious cliffhanger. We wanted to find out, was Chris actually going to go meet up with Todd? Okay, and funny enough, this episode is called Dominican Republic Part 1, because the family goes on their big, you know, annual family vacation. But I feel like this episode needs to be called The Truth Shall Set You Free. That's what I feel like it should be called. So what do you think? Were you surprised about, you know, that Chris was actually planning on meeting him? What do you think?
Well, you know, yeah, I feel like a lot kind of came out in this episode. Mm-hmm. At the end of the last episode, you know, I was hoping that she wouldn't go through and kind of meet with this guy, you know, especially behind Bruce's back, or if she wasn't really as open with him as she could have been. Mm-hmm. So, you know, at the beginning of this one, I was glad to see that she decided not to meet with him. But, mm-hmm. you know, as we saw later in the episode, it didn't really pan out that well with Bruce, because she didn't
tell him that much. I guess I was a little disappointed, too. Kind of, I thought they were going to set this up where Chris is actually going to an event or something like that. Mm-hmm. She was wearing that sparkly sequin jacket. Excuse me. Coughs are not good in a studio. But I was actually disappointed to see that she hadn't had a conversation with Bruce about it first. Mm-hmm. That's what disappointed me.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, that's kind of the same reason why we saw, you know, Courtney, who has already had issues with Chris and this same, you know, type of subject, and all of the other kids pretty much getting upset about it later in the episode. So,
well, things played out a little bit later, but before we get to how they played out, let's talk about this little family vacation. First of all, it seemed like Courtney was kind of at the helm of it. Okay, where should we go? And then I'm thinking, okay, you've got this whole family of, I don't know what, a dozen people. Why is she the one who's calling the shots on where they go? So at first she says, okay, I want to go to Ireland. And then it sounds like, you know, Chris is playing on Ireland. So do we think that it's fair that Courtney is finicky as she is, or do we want to blame it on the fact that she's with child?
Well, you know, I mean, of course we can give her some slack for the pregnancy hormones, but, you know, when it comes down to it, you need to be reasonable. If your whole family, if there's a, you know, bunch of people planning on this trip and everything is set and you just want to change your mind at the last minute, that's not really an acceptable reason.
No. And I like how Kit was like, well, Mom already booked the castle. Like, excuse me? I mean, I guess when I go on vacation, it's like the Hojo is like, you know, like five stars in my book. Well, you know. But the castle, excuse me?
The castle. So, I mean,
looks
you know,
like
and
make it to the castle.
I feel like everybody was pretty flexible. They tried to switch things up and they ended up in the Dominican.
Only for her to miss her flight.
To
only
be late. I know. That's
I don't get that. I mean, I get, you know, she's pregnant. She's hormonal. You know, plus she already has a kid to run after. So I understand that. But at the same time, it's like, all right, really, Courtney? Come on. You've got a lot of other people, you know, to consider. Yeah. And it's not just you.
Exactly. It's just about being considerate. And, you know, Kim, we were joking that Kim said, oh, well, we might just have to book a private plane, and
I know
it's so easy, but you know,
and
it's still just being
how convenient that that's an option for them at all, you know.
True.
Gonna have to fly private if we miss our, you know, $10,000 first class tickets from LA to Dominican Republic. Anywho, moving on. Do I sound bitter? I hope not. Let's talk about Bruce and Scott, because I think for a long time we've seen how they've kind of, you know, had a bond with each other. Because if you think about it, the only men in the house are Rob, Bruce, and Scott. I mean, I know Bruce has grown kids, but, you know, we really don't see his interaction that much on the show with his kids. So I don't know. I was a little surprised to hear Bruce bitching and moaning about Scott. And in turn, Scott is kind of going back at him. Now, I get why Scott was going back at him, but, like, what do you think about all that?
I mean, it was kind of strange to me. I feel like there has to be something else going on that maybe, you know, the rest of us weren't privy to that wasn't included in the show, because it just seemed like
editing.
A bit, kind of it became a bigger deal than something like, you know, leaving a racetrack and not hanging out all day would become. So I'm wondering if there's, you know, some other issue beneath the surface, because it seemed like, you know, things were kind of going well for Scott this season. Mm-hmm. And I'm the first to admit I used to be like president of the Scott Haters fan club.
Oh,
but
that even
like
existed?
Slowly, but he kind of became one of my favorites this season. So, you know, it was kind of sad to see that little tiff there, but I don't know.
Well, I mean, I think at the end of the day, it seems like Bruce is really looking for that camaraderie with another man. So he's always looking for, like we saw in past episodes where he wanted to help Rob find his apartment, you know, and Rob was just like, really, Bruce, you don't know what you're talking about. Back up, you know. So he's constantly trying to get some kind of, like, you know, bro relationship happening, because, you know, he's one man amongst how many vaginas in that house. I'm sorry to put it that way, but it's true. So, yeah, I feel like he's constantly looking for, you know, some camaraderie with another man. And I think he had that with Scott. And I don't know what happened.
Yeah,
like, what
either.
I mean,
it seems to be a bit of a mystery. And, you know, even on Scott's side, there seems to be kind of some bitterness. Like, he made a comment about he's technically not Mason's grandfather, which I thought was a bit too far.
I thought that was too far, too.
But, I mean, I don't know. It just kind of makes me wonder more, how did they get to this place?
I don't know. I don't know.
Episode.
Well, because Bruce did, like, so wait, they went to the, let's set this up. They went to the racetrack. It was Bruce's son, Brandon, and then some other guy who I guess he did not want his face revealed.
I think it was one of his
fuzzy.
Older sons.
Oh,
well.
Okay. Well, so it was two other guys, and he introduced Scott to the other guy as, this is my friend Scott. So that's what set Scott off. Do you think that, do you think Bruce meant it in that way? Like, how do you think he meant that introduction?
I mean, you know, Bruce seems like a generally to be a good guy, so I don't think he meant any insult or injury to Scott by, you know, just introducing him as a friend. Mm-hmm. I, you know, technically he and Courtney aren't married, but he has become part of the family, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. So and I can
feel that's probably why Scott kind of got hurt about it, and maybe that triggered all of this. But
well, because I don't know. In a sense, I can see him being referred to as a friend almost as a compliment, because that means he's looking at you beyond the fact that, you know, you're Courtney's baby's daddy because they're not married. Let's keep it real. Or that you're Courtney's boyfriend. Mm-hmm. So he's kind of isolating you and seeing you as a friend. Yeah. So in a sense, that could have been taken the other way, you know, but I don't know. What do you
now? I feel like we just don't know the whole story.
I don't know.
Maybe we'll
dig
a little deeper in future episodes and see what it is.
Yeah, see what it
happens. It's just on both of their, you know, parts, it seemed like a bit of an overreaction for the situation at hand.
I don't think Bruce meant it in the way that Scott took it, 100%. Like, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. Because, you know, as I said, I don't feel like Bruce kind of goes out of his way to make it, people or make anyone uncomfortable.
You said that perfectly. I don't think Bruce goes out of his way to make people feel uncomfortable or insult people. He's just a normal guy's guy, I feel like. You know, and I think, you know, inviting Scott to, you know, to participate in a pastime that he enjoys, one of his hobbies, cars, racetracks, all that kind of thing, I think his feelings were hurt when Scott, you know, just kind of disappeared. Because we know Scott's not into that. He's wearing ascots. He's wearing pink shirts. He's more of a, you know.
He's about dragging that Louis Vuitton luggage to the airport,
honey,
and jumping on the plane.
He would rather go to a polo match in the Hamptons in the dead of the summer than be caught, you know, like at a racetrack. Yes. So, not his
thing. And
you
can't be mad at him for that.
No. I'm not dissing the dissing, okay? I'm not dissing the dissing. But I'm just saying, I think both of them maybe are a little bit misunderstood about the situation. And to your point earlier, I agree. I think Scott took it a little too far, saying, well, technically he's not Mason's, you know, grandfather, which, ouch, that really...
Yeah. That's a little
hurtful. Yeah. That's very hurtful. That's very hurtful, you know, considering... Because just think about it. Like, what, 4 or 5 episodes ago, Rob was saying, well, you know, Bruce, he's not my dad. And what, you know, I'm like...
I know.
I'm like, are you freaking
Poor
kidding
Bruce
me?
Is getting thrown under the bus this season.
I'm like... He has been in your life since you were 3 years old, you little shit. You know, sorry. Oh, I love that sound effect. But you know what I mean? So, yeah, I feel like he's definitely getting dumped on and not, I don't think it's deserved.
Yeah.
That's all. I don't think it's deserved. Do you think he's respected?
Do you think
those kids have respect for him?
In their hearts that they probably respect him and love him, but just in the everyday of, you know, what we see on camera, I don't think that it really comes across that way, you know? It's tough, and that could stem from, like, Chris, you know, is kind of the patriarch, and things trickle down, and as we know, she's not really that honest with him about a lot of things that have gone on.
Right.
And it's not like it's something new. It's like when Chloe was getting married, Bruce knew nothing about it.
I know.
When Kim was doing Playboy, it's like a pattern, so
he doesn't know anything. Not a single thing. But you know what, I do want to tell our AfterBuzz fans about more than just, you know, a couple things. Normally I have a great setup for this, but I have nothing now. AfterBuzz fans, I want to tell you guys about this great affiliate program. If you already shop on Amazon.com, which I'm sure a ton of you do, because Amazon.com, you can buy just about anything. You can get Maria's book. You can get mugs. You can get tennis rackets. Anything you can look for. Makeup, cosmetics, electronics. It's all on Amazon.com. But we have this great affiliate shopping program with AfterBuzz TV. And what we're asking you to do is check out the Amazon affiliate banner on AfterBuzzTV.com and make your purchases that way. And when you do that, AfterBuzz TV gets lots of little fun kickbacks, and it enables us to bring you lots more shows. It pays for the lights and for us to have special guests in the studio and lights, camera, makeup, and all that kind of fun stuff. So just don't forget, a reminder, if you're going to shop on Amazon.com, to check out our banner on AfterBuzzTV.com and shop with us that way. All right. Okay, so back to some more Kardashian drama.
Yes.
I want to dig in a little bit more about Chris and Todd. So at the very end of this episode, that's where all hell breaks loose. Mm-hmm. And it's unfortunate that Chris didn't decide to be honest with Bruce from the onset because it all came out. Now, do you think this was like, I don't want to say planned, but do you think she was really caught off guard at like the whole conversation over dinner and how it came up?
It kind of seemed like, you know, it was out of left field because, you know, as we can see, Courtney was a little upset and I don't think Kim or Chris would have, you know, kind of poked at her and started, you know, insinuating things about her relationship if she knew that Courtney was going to out her about the whole situation.
I mean,
with Todd. So,
like, not only was it tense, but basically she was the last one at that dinner table. They all got up and left. They all got up to support Bruce. So on the one hand, we were just talking about how Bruce gets thrown under the bus and nobody cares. At the same time, there was something nice about the fact that there was some solidarity around him. The family caring about him.
They did. They all kind of took a stand for him. And, you know, again, I feel like it kind of goes back to the whole history of things of, you know, how these kids know the situation about how their parents originally got divorced. And, you know, they're probably still feeling a lot of those emotions.
True.
So it's obviously not going to be something that they are happy with.
Not happy at all. But we're going to dig into this a little bit more after a commercial.
Hey there, good buddies. The handle's Wooly Bear. I'm a truck driving man, but I'm not that old school kind of truck driving man, no. I like to listen to podcasts while I'm driving through these great United States of ours. And my favorite podcasts in the world are from AfterBuzz TV. And why? Because AfterBuzz TV is like a post-game wrap-up show for all your favorite TV shows, like Jersey Shore, Dancing with the Stars, Mad Men, and a whole truckload more. I like listening to my Gossip Girl podcast, catching up with all my fellow fans and getting all the latest news and gossip. You know, I got some strong opinions. And AfterBuzz TV lets me share those opinions with thousands of other listeners. Woo-wee, what a feeling. I used to doze off on those lonely stretches of road. And don't worry, I got the cruise control. But now I'm wide awake and listening to all the AfterBuzz TV goodness. Check them out. Give them a holler. And tell them the old Wooly Bear sent you.
Okay, we are back. That didn't take too long, right? Again, don't adjust your monitors. There's two black girls in the room, huh? Okay, so I want to dig in more. We were just talking about Chris, and we have a caller on the phone.
Oh,
so Giselle, you guys are used to seeing Giselle with us, and Giselle's actually calling in. Giselle, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi, honey.
Hello.
I wish I could be there.
We wish you could be there, too. Do you want to tell everybody why you can't be here?
No. I had a little allergic reaction. We'll leave it at that.
Well, we hope you get better.
We'll let the imagination wander.
Yes.
It is the weekend after all.
Yes, it is the weekend. Drinking happens on the weekend. It was quite sunny outside. Lots of things happen on the weekend, you know, office
visits. I wish it was something more exciting, but
spa treatments.
We'll leave it for the imagination.
Yeah, we'll leave it for the imagination. Okay, Giselle, so remember, like, we were waiting with bated breath to see if Chris was going to meet up with Todd. What did you think about this episode?
Well, here's what I want to know, and what you guys can, you know, sort of talk about, is, you know, Chris released her memoir. I don't know if you guys are familiar. She released the memoir around the time when, again, coincidentally, Kim got her divorce from Chris. And that's when she first announced that she had this affair that broke up her marriage. So why do you guys think she's bringing it back? Like, what's with the timing? Like, is it even appropriate? You know, because even though she's keeping it as a secret from her family on this episode, like, she's obviously, you know, she's a smart woman. She's not keeping it a secret. She's showing it to the entire world, and she knows that her family's eventually going to see, you know, her going behind their backs. Like, what's the reasoning? Why is she doing this?
You know what? That's a good question.
That's what I was asking myself the whole time.
The first thing that popped into my head as you said that is, are we trying to sell more books? I mean, come on. She's a businesswoman. She knows what she's doing. She's savvy. You know, she's managing a multi-million-dollar brand in this family, and her book is no difference. So are we trying to sell books? You know, because we've already seen her. She's done the rounds. She's making the rounds. And Candace, you're a publicist. You know, so you can kind of speak a little more to
this. It is very possible the timing kind of everything is pretty convenient. You know, we're in the middle of this season, and of course she would want to bring attention to the book and try to, you know, get people curious and really want to pick it up and read it.
Right. So, as a publicist, is it the tactic that you might use to promote, you know, someone that you're representing?
Well, as far as, you know, trying to include that as a topic of conversation in, you know, whatever you're doing, whether it be a TV show or if you're doing interviews, yes, that is definitely part of it. However, you know, you still wouldn't really want to bring that kind of negative attention and put yourself in a bad light. So I feel that, you know, a lot of these issues maybe didn't really play out the way she expected them to or planned on camera. Because, you know, as you can see, a lot of the family is upset about it. But, I mean, you know, in the end, I'm sure she will sell more books as a result of it. But I really feel like, you know, it can't have all been planned because it's just not really painting her in the best
light. And I mean, he didn't even necessarily mention the book in the episode, you know, as much as I think she probably could have, or at least, like, put product placement, et cetera.
Right.
So it's almost like she's trying to, like, reach out to the people that maybe didn't read the book or something, or, like, tell the story to somebody else, but, like, I don't know. And then I don't know about this. I don't know if you guys are aware, but, like, is this the guy who people are saying is Chloe's real dad?
No, I don't believe so.
That's a different one?
I do believe it's... Well, if you remember, they were actually... It was rumored that O.J. Simpson was Chloe's real dad. Now, I don't know where that rumor came from. You know, I don't know if she was ever with O.J. or if there are any rumors about that. But that's what was like in the tabloids at the time. I don't think it's this guy, Todd.
Yeah,
I
know. I know this guy was, you know, kind of the one that was in question, or the person that was present when she divorced Robert Kardashian Sr.
Right.
But
and Bruce knew about this guy too. So this guy is no stranger to Bruce. And apparently, I guess the breakup was bad, you know, all that kind of good stuff. But no, I don't think this is the guy that's rumored to be Chloe's dad. So
were you guys buying the reactions when Chris was, like, all distraught at the refrigerator and, like, rolling her neck in the car?
Well, you know, we were just talking about, you know, how, you know, towards the end at dinner, how Courtney totally, like, you know, called her out and everybody got up. What I'm not 100% sure of, it doesn't seem to me that it's likely that she wouldn't have said something to Bruce before she decided to possibly go and see him. I don't think she would risk her relationship like that. So that I'm not so sure is true.
Yeah. And she, I mean, you know, she did mention it to him in the previous episode that she gave him Noelle's email address.
She did tell
the infamous Noelle.
Right.
And, you know, and I feel like, you know, that kind of even opened the doorway for all of this drama to happen because, you know, if she wants to discuss with him, whatever, have a quick chat at the tennis court, call it the end of it, but you really are kind of opening the door for more, you know, things
more
to happen if you're going to be communicating and thinking about meeting this person. And, you know, she wasn't really open with Bruce about the whole thing.
Think, I don't know, okay, you guys tell me what you think. I think the conversation she had with Bruce when she brought all of this up, when she's like, oh, guess who I saw at the tennis club, and I gave him Noelle's, I think that all happened like, boom, it was done. And then we're just seeing the spillover with her saying, oh, am I going to go see him? Am I going to go not see him? So I think she already had that conversation with him and told him, you know what, I think I'm going to go see him. I think that already happened because her reaction at the dinner when everybody got up to leave was just, I don't know, she just didn't seem like a woman who would be worried about her marriage. You know what I mean?
I mean, that's true.
Is
she like
ever,
could have been chasing after
her. Okay, do you think to stay in touch with an ex?
I really think it depends on what the circumstances.
When there are no kids involved?
I think it really depends on the circumstances, you know? It really does. Because I think if you used to date somebody and say, respectively, both of you are in new relationships and you're seeing new people and you're both married or whatever, because maybe now you're just friends. So I really, I don't think you can just give a blanket statement and say yes or no. It's a circumstantial kind of a thing. What do you think?
I mean, I think that if you know that you might possibly still have feelings for this person and it might possibly be detrimental to a current relationship, you kind of have to decide what your priority is and judge from there. But, you know, there are mature people out there who have moved on, I'm sure, who are friends with a lot of their exes. And it's possible, but, you know, is that the best thing in this situation as far as Chris goes?
Right. In this situation, probably no good, you know. But, I mean, what's your take on that, G? Like, do you think it's okay to be friends with an ex?
Well, you know, it's funny because I used to be like, oh, yeah, you know, same thing as kind of what you were saying, Gianna. Like, if you can maturely say that you're not meant to be together, like, you know, it's whatever. But then, oddly enough, here I am possibly getting back together with my ex after being apart for a year and a half and after being just friends. And it's like, it always seems to be that, like, any situation that I see where the ex is still friends, like, at least one person has, like, even the tiniest bit of feelings, and it's the other person who doesn't have the feelings anymore who's like, I don't know, we're just friends.
Right.
So it's hard, you know? You can't, you can't always put a blanket yes or no. I totally agree on that
point. I mean,
But I think but I don't know, I think, like, maybe once there's a, you know, once you put a ring on it, like, I don't know if that makes you more mature to be able to say, like, okay, yeah, we can be civil. We can, like, maybe keep in touch, like, whatever. Or if that's, like, an automatic, like, okay, put a ring on it. No.
Well,
no more talking.
You know what?
Put away the black book.
Here's what I will say. Speaking of putting a ring on it. So I have an ex. We dated, you know, maybe 3-4 years on and off over time. We were on Facebook with each other, all that jazz, blah, blah, blah. And we, you know, we lost touch. We stopped dating, but we were still kind of friendly. But, you know, sometimes it was a friends with benefits thing. You know what I'm saying? But anyway. But then he got married.
Did you stay friends on Facebook?
Yeah, we did stay friends on Facebook, but then I found out he got married. And when I found out he got married, I unfriended him because I just didn't think it was appropriate for me to be friends with him anymore now that he's married, especially considering when we were friends, and I'm putting up quotation marks right now, Giselle, when we were friends, you know, like, there, that attraction was still there, and, you know, we would hook up maybe, you know, now and then, but, like, when I found out that he was married, I'm like, no, inappropriate, you know, so I took the initiative, and
well, that's good that you're a respectable woman and, like, bowed out of that situation, because some girls would all of a sudden see that and want what they couldn't have anymore.
True. Yeah. Yeah. So that's my take on it. And then, well, I mean, now that I'm a little older and wiser, one of my rules now is that I don't like to Facebook anybody that I'm dating. I just don't. I don't. That's a rule. I just don't like it. I don't think it's I think it's so easy. It's just not the right forum, because I think it'd be so easy to get caught up and be like, oh, who's that girl? She was posted on your page. What's that picture? It would be so easy to get jealous and, like, just let your mind go in all these crazy places. So, like, my rule is I don't want to Facebook people that I'm dating. You know, what do you guys think about that?
I mean,
that?
I think that's so funny, and that, you know, social media is totally, like, dictating the way people kind
so
of,
many things.
You know, date these days.
Facebook
could possibly ruin lives. Exactly. You're like, oh, no, somebody changed their status. They're not together anymore.
Exactly.
What? So it's, if you want to broadcast everything out there, then, you know, it's there, but it can definitely complicate things.
It
does
can.
For a lot of people.
It can. Well, you know, on the social media note, we're ready for news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Okay, y'all. So this has been quite the week of news and gossip for the Kardashians. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, well, you need to hurry up and figure out. Because last week, Oprah Winfrey herself, she interviewed the whole Kardashian clan on her own network because the ratings are just not so great. And I think she's hoping it's going to boost ratings and, you know, get, you know, younger viewers. But she interviewed the whole Kardashian clan, and it was actually part one of a two-part interview, and part two is actually airing tonight. So we'll talk about that next week. But she interviewed the whole Kardashian clan, and one of the highlights of the first part was Oprah's one-on-one with Kim. Did you watch it, Giselle? Because Candace and I did.
I think we lost
She's gone? Oh, okay. Well, maybe she'll call back. But So here's what I want to know. How do you, do you feel like Kim's responses, because basically Oprah was asking her about her marriage with Chris and, you know, just all the media circus behind it, the 72 hour, you know, so they were 72 hours, 72 days. Sorry, Kim.
It wasn't that bad.
They were together. Like, how authentic do you feel like Kim's responses were?
So, you know, just from a PR perspective,
yes,
it seemed that she was very media trained and that, yes, you know, the responses were very kind of, you know, I don't want to say contrived, but, you know, she seemed very prepared and knew what Oprah was going to ask her, and all of the answers seemed perfect. Oprah even made a comment. She said, "That is so perfect. I could weep," or something like that.
But
she
said,
"But I won't," because, you know, because then people will say Kim made me cry. But, I mean, it's funny, but, I mean, at the same time, it's true. I don't know that we really got to the bottom of anything or got an honest response out of Kim during that interview, but I loved the questions that Oprah was asking. It was, you know, very hard-hitting.
It was. And in fact, wait, I have a couple quotes. So here's the first quote from Kim to Oprah regarding her marriage with Chris. "I was in love. I wanted the life that I always pictured my fairy tale life to be. What else did you say? I don't want to get into the small things, but once we moved in, I knew he was not the one." But okay, here's my problem with that statement. I don't want to get into the small things. Well, isn't it the small things you should be able to work through and get past and talk about?
Yeah,
it's
definitely
the big things that are like, you know, oh my God.
Especially leading up to marriage.
Leading up to a divorce, you know? So I'm really wondering, what are these small things that she speaks of? So, I don't know. That's interesting. And here's another quote. She says, "I was in such a deep depression, I thought I was going to back away from everything. I stayed at home for almost 4 months, and I'm a better person now." Now, let's back up the bus for a second. She stayed at home for almost 4 months because I don't know about, I mean, I love you, Kim, but we saw you, you know, on a plane to Australia. You were promoting the Sears line. You were in Dubai.
Millions of milkshakes.
You
all kinds
were
of stuff.
She was traveling the globe. So I don't really understand this. I stayed at home for almost 4 months. I don't.
And maybe she means, you know, like on
in
a
her
personal
head?
Level.
I don't.
Maybe she wasn't kind of just going out to party or socialize. Maybe just business.
I don't know. I'm doing my best to really be objective when it comes to this, because I'll have to be honest. Like when I was watching it, at first I was like, this is the first time where I kind of felt like I was getting some emotion and some feeling and a little bit of authenticity. But there was another part of me that said, okay, yes, she knew what she was going to be asked. These girls, everybody in that whole family is 100% media trained. So it's like, what do you believe?
Yeah, it's, you know? Kind of just have to judge for yourself from what you're seeing, because of course none of us know, you know, these people personally. So we can only judge based on what we see on TV or in these interviews and, you know, just from speaking with people on a daily basis and dealing with a lot of people in the entertainment industry, you know, it just seemed like she was very prepared for the interview.
She was prepared. She was.
So I don't know how much honest insight we got from it. But
yeah, well,
we'll check
I can't
out
wait
two.
To see part two. All right. And then one last quote, which I love, and then we can move on. But Kim says, "We have an amazing fan base that watches the show. We don't do anything for ratings." Okay, really? That's about as true as a $3 bill, right?
I mean, there is a lot, you know, and I feel like this was one of the more real, you know, as reality gets.
Yeah.
The show was a lot more real in previous seasons. This season, I feel like a lot of situations or, you know, whatever you want to put it, are set up and kind of don't seem as authentic as they were before. So,
well, I don't know, but the fact that she says that they don't do anything for ratings, come on.
Oh, hell to the dog.
Thank you. Okay, moving on. So it seems as if Chris Humphries is saying that he knew that Kim and Kanye were shacking it up. And because of that, things are starting to get really dirty with the divorce. It sounds like Chris, he wants Kanye West to appear in court to basically speak on his behalf, you know, basically because he's trying to prove that their marriage was, in fact, a fraud, that it wasn't real. So I don't know if this is, you know, legally possible for him to, you know, subpoena Kanye, get him in the, you know,
As far as, you know, the legal perspective, I'm not sure either. But I mean, why would Kanye do that?
Well, he wouldn't. if he was forced to. I know.
And kind of in that situation.
I get where Chris is going, though. I think he's trying to build up a timeline because he's trying to say, okay, well, we were only married for 72 days. Now she's hanging tight with Kanye. Mm-hmm. They're talking, you know, marriage and all this stuff. I'm sure he's thinking, you know, were you guys really together, you know, when we were together? So I'm sure he's trying to build a little case.
To get to the bottom of it. Yeah, right. Build his case. But, you know, this, I don't feel that this really, you know, paints him in the best light. And of course, you know, there are hard feelings when people break up, especially if you, you know, didn't really want the relationship to end. But, you know, at some point you just have to say, for your own well-being, just, you know, let it go and move on.
He's
and
not going to let this
digging
go.
Up, I know.
He ain't letting this go. And there's one more note. He's also trying to subpoena Reggie Bush.
Really?
Yeah. Now, I mean, whether he is successful getting these guys to come and, you know, come to court and speak on, you know, anybody's behalf, all we have to do is just go back and let's just, like, you know, let's record all the gossip, you know? Let's go to Perez Hilton. Let's go to, you know, Hollywood Gossip. Let's, like, go to all the blogs and let's just do, we could do our own little timeline of building up. Let's just compile it all. He doesn't even need them, but he's not letting this go. He's going to fight this to the end, and, you know, so be it. If that's going to make him feel better, and, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, I feel like in the end, will it really make him feel better, though? And what, well, I guess, you know, financially, maybe he wants to get whatever he feels he's owed. But, I mean, he's, you know, he's a guy. He has a great career. He'll be okay, but,
And late breaking news. I'm sure all of you guys want to know this, but apparently the Kim Kardashian and Beyonce feud, it's over. It doesn't exist. The two were spotted at a Watch the Throne concert in England. And Kim and Beyonce were spotted, you know, like getting their little groove on and dancing. And everybody was there to see it. And then I think they even tried to rush out. So, you know, maybe we need to squash all those rumors that, you know, Beyonce and Kim are just, you know, frenemies.
These,
I don't know.
You know, rumors come up all the time. And,
yes, they
but of
do.
Of course, Kanye and Jay are homies, so she's going to have to get along with Beyonce. And
I know. Well, you know what? Let's, you know, since we have a true publicist in the flesh here, I want to talk to you about, well, first of all, can you share with us, like, who are some of the people you represent?
Sure.
You know, do you have any issues? You know, because I'm sure, like, you've got news and gossip going on about some of the people that you represent. How do you deflect that as a publicist?
Well, you know, it's definitely an interesting job. Mm-hmm. You know, you have challenges here and there, but you know, as far as the agency where I work, we work with a lot of, you know, great hip-hop artists. We work with Snoop Dogg, E-40, Too Short. We also do a lot of TV show work, which ties in well with today. We do a lot of Style Network stuff. Empire Girls is a new one on Style Network.
Adrian Bylon
and Jaleesa Bermudez. So that's been a lot of fun to work on. They are, you know, kind of young single girls. They have a lot going on, so there's been definitely a lot of juicy dating news that media are interested in. We have lots of great preview clips and things like that.
Any divas, any big personalities? I know you can't, you know, you can give us a rhymes with wink, wink.
I know. You know, I'll say for the most part, I've been pretty lucky. The majority of the folks that we work with are, you know, pretty great and low key. And, you know, again, you know, being in a PR position, you just have to, like, really play that gatekeeper role. Yeah. You can advise your clients, you know, about what you think is best and what would be best for them image wise, but it's kind of up to them to follow it and you know, really represent themselves in a good light.
Spoken like a true publicist. I cannot break her at all. Everything is sunshine, candy, roses, and unicorns about all of her hip hop artists. Wink, wink. Well, you're doing your job well, so that's all we have to say. All right, it looks like we're getting ready to wrap this up. It's been fun.
Yes, thank
Two
you so
black
much
girls
for
in the studio.
Me.
I think we're on to predictions. Predictions? We have some predictions?
And now, you're at the buzz.
I heard that, Marissa. All right. So it looks like scenes for the next. We still don't know, like, what the final outcome is with Chris and Bruce about this whole, you know, Todd thing. What do you think? What do you think is in store?
I don't know. Maybe we'll see, you know, kind of an honest conversation between Chris and Bruce about the whole thing. He seemed pretty upset, of course, when he walked away. So
yeah.
I think next week it's going to be a pretty juicy episode.
Yeah, and I still feel like Scott and Bruce still have some, you know, ground to make up for and talk about. You know, I don't think that's resolved either.
I know. They definitely still have, you know, some issues to work out. And it seemed like, you know, Courtney and everyone was kind of encouraging Scott to maybe go to Bruce and talk to him about it. So hopefully that will work out.
Well, we are going to find out next week. And we're going to be able to bring you more information and, you know, from the second part of Oprah's interview with the Kardashian family. But until next week, I want to thank Candace Smart for being here.
Thanks
and please tell please tell everybody about your Lux Life blog. Where can they find you?
So you can follow me, Candace Smart, it's CandiceSmart, on Twitter, and visit the blog at welcometotheluxlife.com and follow us on Twitter at welcometolux, L-U-X-E.
Got it. And for me, you guys, I'm your go-to girl, G-O, the number two girl. You can find me on Twitter at GoToGirlTV, and you can check out my website, GoToGirlTV.com, where not only you can find all of AfterBuzz videos and all that great stuff, but I also post lots of fun webisodes about how to save money and keep your budget on just about anything you can think of. Handbags, house paint, hotel rooms.
Balling on a budget.
Balling on a budget. So follow me there, you guys. And thanks for watching. And be sure to, you know, keep your comments coming because we love them. Keep rating us. And we'll see you next week.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.